everyone. We are back to talk about episode 4 of season 5, Baby Shower. And here interviewing for the regional manager position is Tony Sindelar. Hey, Tony.
Hello, nerds. How's it going?
So what do you bring to the table here at Somehow I Manage?
Well, I'm really bad at job interviews, Tiff. So that's a good thing to open with when interviewing.
Well, how do you make a table?
You make a chair but stop halfway is I think
or maybe
the
it
joke.
Was the other way. How do you make
or
a chair?
Or was it the other way? Yeah, I don't even remember who was asking who, but I know Dwight was involved in that question. Was that Dwight and Andy?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. It's all imprinted on me. I have watched The Office many, many times. And I have rewatched it a zillion times. It was definitely a show for a while that I would just go to and watch 6 or 7 episodes in one sitting. And sometimes I'd feel good and sometimes I'd feel bad. But it is a show I know well. It is a show that I connect to a lot of my early, somewhat dysfunctional office experiences in my first job outside of college. I also have the kind of weird connection of I went to high school with 2 of the people that star on The Office.
What?
So, yes.
Oh my gosh, you're overqualified for this job. What's happening?
Let's transfer me to corporate. Yes, I attended.
You look corporate with all those pantsuits.
Yeah, you know. Don't check the labels. I attended high school with BJ Novak and John Krasinski. So they
That's
were 2 years
awesome.
Ahead of me. So like I saw them in like, you know, plays and stuff, but they don't know who I am. So yeah, which it is weird that there are 2 people that went to high school together on the same show. So
that's nuts. Wow. All right. I think you are overqualified, but I'm so happy that you're here to talk about Baby Shower. And this episode originally aired on October 16th, 2008. And we're kind of back to the cold open again for this season. And right away, we have kind of a dramatic cold open happening here in this episode where Dwight is pregnant with a watermelon, of course.
Michael!
Yeah?
My water's breaking!
Oh, okay, okay.
Right. What do you do? What do you do?
I get a call from Jan and I meet her at the hospital.
Right. Highways or surface roads?
I take Quincy Ave to Gibson.
No, Gibson is covered in potholes. Your car breaks down. Adapt.
Yes, he is preparing Michael for the birthing experience, I guess. He is attempting to.
Well, he says that he's very good with kids and babies. Mm. And we do see that later on. We have a little indication that he actually is good with babies and kids. So he's not too far off. But he has some very strange methods. I'm sure that mm-hmm. that kind of stems from his, Pennsylvania Dutch background? No,
yes.
He's like Pennsylvania German. I don't know. What is his background?
I thought it was Pennsylvania Dutch or something like that, which is like kind of Germanic. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know enough about it.
Yeah. I don't know enough about it. I mean, it's like not quite Amish, but it's clearly Amish adjacent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. But so he wants Michael to mark the baby with a Sharpie in order not to lose it in the hospital or mix it up with another mm-hmm. baby. So.
And Michael does mark the watermelon with kind of. It's like his initials, I think, in kind of a stylized little circle. So I found this cold open upsetting, which is what you're supposed to. The only moment in it that I kind of enjoy is when Dwight is giving birth to the watermelon and Michael tries to catch it and it slips through his hands and it hits the ground and cracks, which is bad. But then he asks, why is it so slippery? And Dwight explains that he covered it in butter because newborns are slippery. And Michael, instead of like groaning or yelling at Dwight, it was like, oh, nice touch.
Ready?
Yes.
Wow, what was on that?
Butter. Newborns are slippery.
Nice touch. Good.
Let's try that again.
So like a rare moment of respect from Michael to Dwight.
Yeah, I think Michael is seeing that he really doesn't know a lot about babies. And he's defaulting to Dwight, who seems to be walking around with an air of knowing a lot. Mm. And I really like in this cold open Jim's chart. His like kind of family tree that he mm-hmm. he constructs in order to show that Michael's relationship to the baby is basically delusion.
Jan is about to have a baby with a sperm donor, and Michael is preparing for the birth of a watermelon with Dwight. Now, this baby will be related to Michael through delusion.
There is. I mean, the office gives him a pretty hard time about it. You know, I want to be a little bit, like, forgiving of, like, you know, families can look like lots of things. But
exactly,
seems like you need more than one person to buy into that idea to, like, agree on a family unit. And it seems like Jan is not on board with any of Michael's plans. So, or are they even plans, ideas, dreams, figments that he has coming to him?
Yeah. Jan's not even on board with having him at the birth because Mm-mm. we see her showing up for the baby shower with the baby. Like, the baby is there. So she's definitely not on board. But before we talk about the baby showing up, we should talk about the planning of the baby shower that is going on in the office today.
So Phyllis is still in charge of the party planning committees.
I do enjoy being the head of the party planning committee. I'm no longer under Angela's heel, and her little grape head is mine.
What are you doing? Don't talk to them.
I'm sorry.
Make the party.
And so she's riding high, but it seems like, you know, that's not a streak you can really maintain, especially with people not handing you stacks of cash left and right for for things.
I think there's some ridiculously high expectations floating around the office.
Yeah, there's no more, and there's no more foot money, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, the foot money is just, it's spent, it's gone. Before we get into that, I do want to mention from the cold open, I forgot, I'm looking at my notes here, Dwight wasn't wearing pants.
Like, yes.
Why were his pants off? He was fake birthing the watermelon and there's no pants.
Yeah, there's not really any explanation for it. Yeah, and then he is buckling up his pants like right next to Michael's head.
Yeah, I think that that's a moment that I just wanted to highlight, that we need to acknowledge that Dwight had his pants off for reasons. I don't know.
I think one of the things I kind of like about we're this far into the office, we don't need to see whose dumb idea this was. Like, was it Michael or Dwight's? Like, we just start the dumb idea halfway through where, you know. So I appreciate that we know enough that it's not really important to know who was responsible for Dwight simulating a childbirth.
You are so right. That's exactly right.
It is going to be the happiest day of my life.
So the baby shower is being planned, and the only request so far is that there would be M&Ms with names written on them, because I guess around this time, custom printed M&Ms are becoming a thing. And so we have a bowl with baby girl names and a bowl with baby boy names. And it seems like Michael's baby boy name was Chevy, which we can guess is from Chevy Chase, which I don't think that that's a terrible name. I kind of like it. I don't know about you, but I kind of like it.
I kind of don't. So, is Chevy short for something?
Chevastinier?
Chevalier? I don't.
Chevalosky.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't know about that as a first name. I mean, you know, Astrid is not an amazing name either, but it seems slightly better than that.
Well, at least it's not Astrid.
Yes. Well. Not a name.
And this is the girl bowl with M&Ms with the name Asturd.
That can't be right.
Michael wrote down Asturd.
She said it is the name of a Viking princess.
So
Asturd.
I know. It is beautiful.
So was there a significance to the, like, you've got M&Ms in two bowls? Is it like which one has more at the end, or is it just, no, there's just M&Ms?
I think it's just a party decoration thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just kind of like one of those, like, baby shower gimmicks.
So I will admit, I have never attended a baby shower, so my knowledge of baby showers is limited to what I've seen on TV.
They are basically exactly what you see on TV.
Okay.
Because everyone pits their real-life baby shower based on what they see on TV. So it's exactly what you see.
I hope most of them are better than this one.
Yeah, so. At least most of them, they inflate the balloons all the way. There seems to be some sort of trend on the office of not inflating balloons completely, which
I like. I mean, it just, you know, it's tiring. So
it is.
And they're at best half invested in their jobs. So
it is a very half-assed baby shower, because this is a half-assed connection to the office, really, this baby.
Why do we have to pay money to get a gift for his ex-girlfriend's unborn sperm bank baby?
Look at it as if you're paying for the cake, not the baby. Sheet cake.
Yes, there is. I mean, there is lots of grumbling about it. No one seems willing to stand up for the fact that we are doing a baby shower for Jan, who does not actually work here anymore and is no longer in a relationship with Michael. And Michael is probably, I mean, I guess there's some question as to the paternity of the child, but probably not the father of the child, right?
Probably not, but it could be. But probably not.
Yes.
Because Michael felt nothing.
That's science.
I usually love babies, but when I held Astrid, I just felt shortchanged.
Angela is constructing a baby game kind of on a board with the pictures of everyone from the office. And I believe those are all their actual baby pictures up there. And after the episode aired, participants in the Dunder Mifflinfinity kind of online game that was being played at the time, they were asked to match up each baby picture with the corresponding actor on the site. So that was kind of cool. So they are actual baby pictures. And we see Andy getting in a bit of trouble with Angela by accidentally guessing that the baby Phyllis was baby Angela and being slightly horrified by the picture of baby Angela because it doesn't look anything like her.
Who would have thought that this little baby would be marrying that little baby?
That's Phyllis.
Yeah, it is.
So I hope you two are very happy together, pervert.
Why does that make me a pervert?
Well, it does. That's me.
That's not you.
Yes, it is.
That's mean. Come on. That's.
I mean, it wasn't a horribly ugly baby.
No, I mean, she's in the mode right now, Angela, where she is just giving him kind of a relentlessly hard time about everything.
Yeah.
And I mean, Angela's, what is going on in Angela's head right now is confusing to me, right? Because she has agreed to be engaged to Andy and yet clearly does not wish to be engaged to Andy. And so he's treating him like garbage. And yet that is not deterring him in any way whatsoever.
Yeah, it's almost like she's trying to get him to break up with her, but he just won't.
Yeah, I mean, she's sabotaging, but it does not matter. And it's like, well, why did you agree to this? / why don't you say something? Yeah, it's very bizarre.
I think it's just the really sad side of the neediness that Andy has. And it's really hard to watch him get treated like this. And maybe it's a way for the audience to start having some more sympathy and empathy towards Andy. Because before, he was just kind of obnoxious and he's annoying. Yeah. And
the anger management stuff is not a great look, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, he gets like extra angry. Like, there's so much about him to not like. I think this is kind of a really clever way to get us on the side of Andy, to see him suffering a little bit, and we're suffering along with him, and we don't want him to suffer because he's seeming like this nice guy who's trying to plan this wedding, who's trying to like give this woman everything that she wants, but she keeps on shooting him down. So I think we're getting on the, oh, I kind of like Andy. He's actually kind of sweet and doesn't deserve this.
Yeah. There's kind of a theme in this episode is these kind of like, I don't know if they're like misconnections, but like people who are not in sync with each other, right? So we've got Andy and Angela, and we've got Michael and Jan, and then I guess Michael and Holly, and then Jim and Pam, of course. So.
And Dwight in the stroller.
Yes, Dwight in the stroller. Sorry. yeah.
So when we were talking about Michael and Holly and their misconnections, Michael, before Jan shows up, takes a moment and goes over to Holly to address that he has this plan to make Jan feel better by treating Holly, who he finds to be one of the most attractive people in the office, and Ryan. Ryan's also going to get this
Ryan
treatment too.
Yes. I don't think Ryan has seen this entire episode, but yes.
He's not seen, but he is mentioned and implied that Michael will be being a little bit extra rude to him because this is his strategy for making someone feel better by outwardly making other people feel bad.
While she's here, I am going to be acting kind of cold to you. And I am doing this to pay respect to her bloated feelings, and I'm treating Ryan the same way.
Of course.
He may have learned too many strategies from Jan. So yeah. And Michael and Holly's relationship at this stage of things is not yet romantic. They are just very close work friends, correct? And we've had kind of the fast forward where they've been working together for months at this point.
Yeah, in a previous episode, Holly referred to him as her best friend in the office. So that has been implied, but we all know that Michael has feelings for Holly because he can't stop telling the cameras and Jim and anyone else who'll listen about it.
And in some ways, he is kind of starting to tell Holly about it for the first time here when he's like, Jan's going to be jealous of you, right? Or at least he's planting a seed that will be acted upon later, I guess.
And he called her very attractive. So that's a big thing.
Yes, and she seems, you know, I guess consistent with her behavior before, willing to roll with his weirdo behavior and confusing ways of doing things.
So Jan arrives with the baby, everyone in the office is shocked. Yeah. We find out that the name is not Astrid, but it's mm-mm. Astrid. And by the way Jan looks and the size of the baby, it wasn't like super recent. It's been maybe like a few weeks, maybe.
I wasn't sure if that was a limitation of the availability of newborns for TV. But yes, it sure did seem
that always
like,
bothers me.
Yeah, but it sure did seem like she did not give birth to this child yesterday. So,
no.
Yeah.
They didn't really say how long ago the birth was, but it certainly was enough time for Jan to have her hospital stay, mm-hmm. essentially recover postpartum a little bit, and now she's showing up at the office kind of pretty together. She does take a nap later on, but she seems to have a handle on this whole motherhood thing. She doesn't seem as frazzled as like, oh, I just showed up 3 days after I gave birth. Mm-mm. No way.
Now, let me ask you your thoughts on this. Who is this baby shower? Like, whose idea is this, right? Is this Jan milking the office for money, or is this Michael trying to make this a thing that's not a thing?
Oh, it's so Michael, because he, in the beginning, calls it his shower.
Oh, yes, his golden shower, yes.
Where's my golden shower?
He keeps referring to it as my baby shower. So, and then he's like, for Jan.
For Jan.
Like, it's like packed on. Like,
so Jan is there somewhat reluctantly, but is also happy to take a gift from them because that's her way. So.
Yeah, and I believe also he said something about like he had to convince her to come with something, so... Yeah, that he was trying to throw a pretty good party because he had to convince her to even show up.
Hello, ladies. How was my shower going? Phyllis, did you get the live storks?
No.
Damn it, Phyllis! I'm sorry. Damn it, Phyllis. It was hard enough to convince Jan to come.
Yes, so this is his big gesture to try and like be a part of Astrid's life.
Yeah, and I think Michael also likes parties and he likes celebrating himself a little bit.
Yes,
so he does. This is what it's about. It's a little celebration of him being a not baby daddy.
Mm-hmm.
I really love when we finally see the reveal of the baby shower, and there's a chair for Jan covered in post-it notes that looks like a throne. I never noticed it before, but I noticed it on this rewatch. It's beautiful. Did you see that?
I did not notice that among the half-inflated balloons.
Oh, it's quite epic. They have all the colors. It's all like, it's almost as if the Game of Thrones throne was made out of post-it notes, like colorful post-it notes. You have to go back and check it out because it's fantastic. We do find out that Michael loves babies, which we can assume because he's obsessed with having kids because, oh, that horrible episode where he wants to have a million kids to have a million friends. Oh, my heart.
So sad.
And so Michael proceeds throughout this whole thing to kind of get close to Astrid and like be able to hold her. And Jan just keeps being reluctant. Like she's letting him hold her kind of in the car seat. And it's really awkward.
So sad.
Oh, I feel so bad because Michael is trying so hard to have a connection with Jan and this baby, and he's just met with resistance at every turn.
Jan is pretty cruel to Michael in this episode. I mean, Jan is cruel to Michael in a lot of episodes, but this is up there. It's not dinner party level. But I always think about the moment when she's like, oh, I'm going to go take a nap. By the way, we need to talk about Astrid's college fund later. It's so bad.
I caught that too. I was like, ooh, so you're okay, like chit chatting with financials, but.
Yes. Especially given, I mean, she knows that Michael is like, his financials are in a horrible situation because she spent all his money. But yeah.
Oh, and it's so sad again when he refers to the office as Astrid's family. And I was like,
Michael forgot to get a life anywhere in the last couple of years again.
Yeah, it's just always driven home how much the office is his family. And that's another thing that this baby is kind of representing for him. It's like it was someone in the office had a baby, so therefore it is the family's baby, you know, like that's why he's holding on so tightly even though he has almost no connection to this child at all.
I do kind of enjoy his scene where he goes down to the warehouse and he tries to get, you know, I mean, because it seems like the people who have to work with Michael day to day are kind of, you know, rolling their eyes and think that Michael is an idiot but are not going to They're not going to kind of respond to him or, you know, tell him how it is. But Daryl is a different story. When Michael goes, I mean, you know, Michael is theoretically Daryl's boss, but Daryl does not really give him any respect. And is, you know, I guess the level of respect he gets is that Daryl is willing to tell him kind of what the, give him a reality check. Because I do appreciate that Michael goes down and asks him about being a baby daddy. And Daryl is like, you're not any of those things.
I need some advice from one baby daddy to another.
You a baby daddy?
Yeah, I baby daddy. When you first became a baby daddy, did you have an immediate connection with that baby? Like the first time that you held it, did you find that with your baby?
Hell yeah. You know why? Because that was my baby.
Huh. I just saw it as a baby daddy.
You should stop calling yourself baby daddy.
Why, Daryl? Because I'm, quote, white, quote, unquote.
Because you're not a daddy.
Well.
And it's not your baby.
I like the term, you've got baby daddy.
Yeah.
It's like, no. And then Michael does ask if he could hold Daryl for, you know, just to check it out, for comparison's sake.
You want to hold me? See how you feel?
Could I?
No.
Too far.
Meanwhile, upstairs, Jan is singing Son of a Preacher Man for like 20 minutes.
Always easy, baby. No matter how hard I try. When he started sweet talking to me, he'd come and tell me
everything. So awkward. Everyone's just kind of watching. And then she starts getting into the birth story.
Yes.
And everyone tries to leave. Michael ropes everyone back in. It's a whole scene up there. Everyone's feeling real awkward.
You gave birth in a tub?
Yeah, it's a really nice transition from womb to world, you know, kind of like a big womb.
So you're in the tub with everything?
Oh, yeah, the afterbirth floats, yeah.
Must be like the tide at Omaha Beach.
This is possibly, I mean, there have been a lot of awkward parties in that conference room, but this has to be toward the top.
Yeah, I think a good ranking. Oh, maybe a top four. Top four most awkward office parties. Ooh, that's a good one. I like that. I'm going to put that on the list.
Yeah, I have feelings. So we can, I don't know if we want to sidetrack on that. I think the Christmas party where they get the waitresses mixed up is up there.
Ooh, that was pretty bad. Oh, there's so much potential for that. I really like that. Yes.
Oh, you know what? I just remember. Is that the same one as the one where they take the pizza guy hostage? Nope, that's a different one. That's the
launch
party.
Party.
Oh, God. Oh. That conference room has seen things.
It's seen a lot of things.
Yeah.
So there was a group gift purchased for the baby shower.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stroller. But Jan has come in with a much more expensive stroller, and Dwight can't possibly fathom how this stroller could be so expensive. Actually, how it could be equally expensive to his bomb shelter.
$1,200 is what I spent on my whole bomb shelter. For that kind of money, the stroller should be indestructible.
So he proceeds to take the stroller outside and stress test it for the rest of the episode. So we have so much going on. We have like Michael being cold to Holly. We have Jan singing Son of a Preacher Man to the baby. We have Dwight stress testing the stroller outside. And all of this happening in the office. And then, in addition to that, we have Jim and Pam, like these clips of them having this really upsetting kind of misconnecting day.
Yeah, the Dwight stress testing the stroller goes on a little long for my liking. Both in terms of, I think you get kind of diminishing returns on the physical comedy of it. Also, it means he's removed from the story, which is, I think it just goes on a little bit longer than it needs to.
Also, I would have liked to see the stroller afterwards.
Yes.
They just said, oh, it's in Jan's car. And I'm like, darn it, I would love to see the state of that thing. And she sees it. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we were missing like a shot where even if it's intact, like, you know, it's got like shrubbery or gravel on it or something, you know, like, cosmetically damaged.
I know. I wanted to see some sort of results.
I did notice. So they have the second stroller for her that Michael brings out when Jan is leaving. And then I noticed later in the episode, Jim is walking to his car and he's leaving the voicemail for Pam, and he walks by the stroller for Jan that's just sitting there outside the office. So she left without it because she did not care.
That's also so cruel and awkward.
That is Jan. So
that voicemail that Jim and Pam kind of simultaneously leave for each other. I love that moment because it's like they had all this stressful misconnections. And, you know, I've had that too, where it's like you're trying to explain a story that's going on and the person that you really want to talk to about it isn't there. So you have like this weird hearsay story going on and no one knows anyone involved in it. And I like that they showed at the end of this episode, not them coming together, but them simultaneously synchronizing,
yeah,
missing each other. And it shows their connection without them getting connected.
Hey, it's Jim. Leave a message.
Hi.
Hey, this is Pam. Leave a message.
Hey, it's me. It is 5:03.
I figured I'd catch you walking to your car, but...
guess you must be out or something.
I'll leave a message.
Yeah, it's a little weird because we don't get the, like, everything is okay, but the everything is okay. Because, like, literally they're leaving voicemails for each other, which is funny. But they're telling the same side of the story, and it's like, yep, they're gonna be okay.
Yeah, it's just such a sweet, wonderfully written way to do that without putting a really nice, neat little bow on it. But it puts that little charming edge to it that is our Jim and Pam relationship that we love so much. Because we love seeing them accidentally connect like they have been for seasons now.
Yeah.
Let's see, some final things. Well, the big final thing at the end of this episode.
Well, yeah, I guess as Michael is helping Jan leave, she asks him for one thing, which is my question to you. Is this the cruelest thing that happens in the episode or only the second cruelest thing? Jan asks Michael to never date Holly.
Oh, you know what? There is one more thing that you can do for me.
Okay.
Don't date Holly.
Well, I hate her. Why would you even ask me to? I mean, not that it matters, because I don't, but okay. All right. Fine.
Why?
Why? Yeah.
Why? Where does that come from?
Because she doesn't want him to be happy?
Right? Like,
yeah.
I feel like that was a little bit out of nowhere. I felt like that was one of those things, those moments in a TV show where you're like, they just wrote that in just to be difficult, not because a character would have really done it.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, you know,
it stood out.
Yes, it does. And because it doesn't, I don't really understand the rationale for her cruelty, right? Like, her not including Michael in the birth is because, you know, it's not clear how much she wants Michael to be involved. And Michael only
is involved. Also, it's not Michael's baby.
It's not Michael's baby. Michael only knows about this because Kevin saw her at the supermarket.
He probably was really weird during all the classes and things that he kind of like forced himself to attend. Yeah. Like, it was
so she's setting boundaries to like protect herself and protect the life of her new child and that kind of stuff. And maybe Michael's involvement in that has to be heavily negotiated. But Michael, you can't date Holly just feels mean.
Yeah, and she barely even knows Holly. They had this brief little interaction that we got to see in the office where Holly tries to make some cheesy jokes, which were super charming because it's like, oh, I get your dorky side, Holly. I totally see it. And Jan just gives her this blank stare. But other than that, there was really no, like, it wasn't like she was mean.
It just feels like she's just trying to hurt him.
Yeah, it does. And before, with their relationship, with Jan's relationship with Michael, it's like, yes, they were cruel to each other, but there were moments where you could tell Jan wasn't intentionally trying to hurt him too badly.
I don't know. I mean, Jan does kind of do some things where she lashes out and has some, you know, she's working through some stuff. Sometimes she's not working through them, but she has some stuff. And it just feels like, I mean, maybe there's just a little bit of jealousy of Michael where she doesn't want him to move on if she's not moved on, but it just feels really mean and for no reason. But I guess, and strangely, it's enough that Michael kind of discards it, which is, I feel like, kind of a big jump for Michael, especially given that the whole episode is this giant awkward situation that he created because he's trying so hard to, you know, be part of this child's life to impress Jan. And then Jan pushes him too far and he is kind of, you know, takes a step back and assesses what will actually make him happy. And he goes up and has this kind of awkward hug with Holly, which is weird and awkward, but also very Michael. And then asks her on a date and she is into it, which is, I guess, very Holly. So,
well, her little smirk, like, kind of in the middle of that hug was so sweet. And I really don't think that the Michael, maybe even a whole, like maybe one season ago, would have had the wherewithal or the self-recognition to shoot down Jan's suggestion, you know, for himself. You know, I think that he would have went along with it and been like, oh, well, this is what I have to do to, you know, be a good person for Jan or whoever.
You can like see in your head him having like the multiple conversations with Dwight about Jan said I can't, but like we have to find out what's going on. And then Jim comes in and like, look, Michael, what do you actually want in life? And you know,
right. But it would have gone completely different. But we're seeing a much more in control of himself Michael this season, and especially in relation to Holly. You know, like he has matured, for the lack of a better word, and he is becoming a lot more socially functional. Yeah. And even though that hug was a little bit weird, he did do it nice and slow, you know, like he did. It was kind of like a warning hug, like, all right, I'm coming in, I'm slowly hugging you. And then the way he asked her, so sweet, and that like kind of just euphoric little tone. I don't know. It was just a really nice little moment where they're almost whispering to each other, and he asks her out, and it's just so great.
Want to go out?
Yes.
Michael and Holly's relationship is it's interesting because we have on the office a lot of kind of dysfunctional relationships, right? And like Pam and Jim are kind of the one main functional relationship, right?
But
Michael and Holly's relationship seems to be a functional positive one, even though theirs is perhaps like weirder. Right.
Yeah. Well, because Michael is the most dysfunctional person.
Yes.
But yet he is entering now into a more functional relationship.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, Holly is a giant goober, which in some ways is, you know, what makes it adorable is that they are kind of made for each other. She is, you know, several degrees more mature than Michael and kind of like brings out some of his better qualities. But also still, she is not trying to get him to grow up because that's probably never going to happen.
No, because she loves his childish side because she has one, too.
Yes. So it is nice that the show does not like string out this thing where Michael is tormented by Jan's comments for more than 2 minutes, really. He's just like, nope, that's not going to happen. And it does feel like, you know, early seasons that would have been like an arc. And here it's just a beat.
The pacing of the show. And I like the pacing that they have of the relationships in this show because it doesn't feel so drawn out that you're just like waiting season after season after season for like the characters you want to get together to finally get together. You know, they have... some of them are more drawn out, like the Jim and Pam one, but you do get the moments of satisfaction throughout and then kind of like the payoff moments. It's just really, it's well done in a way that it doesn't feel like this epic drama that's going to take a crazy turn and you're never going to get satisfied. This episode is one of those where you get that satisfaction finally at the end. We're only in episode 4 of season 5 and Holly and Michael are going to go out. So here we are. Oh, so is there anything, any other little details about this episode that you want to mention before we kind of wrap this up?
I do. There were some good Creed, upsetting Creed moments in this episode.
Oh, we love a good upsetting Creed corner.
Yeah, you know, we have his, he makes a comment about the birthing. I'm not going to repeat. That's pretty upsetting. there's also, I think at one point, Jim is on the phone with Pam, and he's like, just looking for a direction to look in that there is not something upsetting. And at one point he turns, I guess, to look kind of where Pam would usually be. And Creed is over there and he seems to be doing something.
He's like wrapping his ankle.
He's doing something with his foot. And I believe wasn't there a Halloween or a Bring Your Child to Work episode where he told.
Right, the four-toed Creed.
The four-toed. So I think that was like, I don't know if that's a reference to that or he's just a weird old man. But yes.
There's also a good Stanley moment where Stanley does not like being around pregnant women because he doesn't complain aloud and has all the
same
ailments that pregnant ladies have. But you don't see him going on and on about it.
Nope, you do not.
I do not like pregnant women in my workspace. They're always complaining. I have varicose veins, too. I have swollen ankles. I'm constantly hungry. Do you think my nipples don't get sore, too? Do you think I don't need to know the fastest way to the hospital?
We did not talk about, it's not one of my favorite moments at all. It's a kind of weird non sequitur moment when, Auntie and Angela briefly take the child and are doing weird garden picture stuff. That's so weird, and I don't understand.
Well, there's a photographer that takes pictures of babies like that.
I am unfamiliar with that phenomenon. That makes it slightly less weird, but still very weird.
And so Angela is trying to recreate that. Like, remember the poster of the babies playing saxophone, the win-win-win?
Okay.
That's the style of photography from this one person. And so Angela is trying to recreate that she likes this, the work of these babies in weird situations.
And, like, you know what, Angela, if you want to buy those posters, that's great. If you want to display them for your own house, that's fine. But Tulies, please do not borrow other people's children to create them.
And they must have went out and gotten all the foliage and, and lettuce. Actually, it looked pretty fresh. It was very lovely, very lush.
Oh, and poor Andy is trying to be helpful.
Oh, you know you don't flash around a newborn baby.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either, and I kind of learned that from The Office, and now I use it. I'm like, you know.
Is that medically sound tip? Or
I don't know. I don't
okay.
know.
Okay, we may want to source that just because, you know.
It just sounds like a good idea.
A good idea. So,
where'd you hear that advice? Jan told me.
Citation needed.
It was edited on Wikipedia. You can't tell who the source is. It could be anybody.
She's nature's bounty.
You don't flash around a newborn baby. Don't you know that?
What?
So, everyone, thank you so much for joining us and for listening. And be sure to go over and follow us at tall_beats. You can let us know what you think of all of our new host candidates over there. I don't know what to call everybody who I'm roping
applicants.
In to fill in applicants. Yeah, that's good. I like that, Tony. Thank you. You can also go over and become a member at The Incomparable and get fun goodies at the end of the year and access to our members only bonus feed. You can also join our special Slack, the conference room, where we chit chat with members about The Office and they kind of get previews about stuff and maybe they'll be the ones that get to vote on who my next co-manager is. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there to get people to have membership. So go over and do that. Anyway, and next time on Somehow I Manage, we will be talking about Crime Aid, which I really like this episode. I'm kind of excited about Crime Aid.
Yay. I don't know if I was supposed to say anything there.
No, that's good. I'll use your yay.
Yay.
How well I remember the look that was in his eyes, stealing kisses from me on the sly, taking time to make time, telling me that he's all mine, learning from each other's knowing, looking to see how much we've grown and